Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, thank you for spending time with me today. October is Pregnancy Loss Awareness Month, and so the next two episodes are going to be on this topic. Now, too often, pregnancy loss is not acknowledged for the painful loss that it is. I've had way too many women tell me, I haven't lost a child, but when I ask them if they've had a pregnancy loss, the tears well up in their eyes as they say yes. And then when I tell them, then you have lost a child, the tears usually start running down their face. Today's guest is someone who had a pregnancy loss after many years of trying to get pregnant, and then they were unable to conceive again. After going through the raw pain, she was able to receive the blessings and the gifts that God still had for her and her husband. So let me introduce you to her. Shelley Hitz is an award-winning and best-selling author of over 40 books. However, most importantly, she is a wife, a daughter, sister, friend, and follower of Christ. She has been ministering alongside her husband, CJ, since 1998, and her main passion is to share God's truth and the freedom in Christ she has found with others. She does this through her books, websites, and speaking engagements. Shelley's openness and vulnerability as she shares her own story of hope and healing through her book, Broken Crayons Still Color, will inspire and encourage you. Now, I'm also going to share that Shelley and her husband, CJ, founded Christian Book Academy that helps you partner with God to write and finish your book, get it published and out into the world. Now, I am a member of CBA. I had already written quite a few books before I joined, but I saw the value in it, and so I am a member there, and you're going to hear us talk about that as well. So here is my talk with Shelley Hitz. Well, Shelley, hello. It is so good to have you here with me today.
Yes, thank you so much for inviting me, Laura. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I have been connected with you for quite a while, and I've heard just kind of bits and pieces because this is a part of your life story that you don't share very often because God's got you in this incredible direction that we'll talk about later. But I do want to start out so that the listeners can know your story and why you're with us today.
Yeah, my husband and I have been married for 27 years. I just turned 50 this year. So that was my year of jubilee, God told me. But we had been married for quite a few years. We were missionaries. I'm a very ambitious person, and I had a career as a physical therapist. And we really didn't talk about having children for a while. And then I was getting to my late 20s. We had come back from the mission field. I was like, I think I'm ready to have kids. I worked with children with disabilities as a physical therapist in Belize, Central America, when we were down there. And so the children just captured my heart, and I wanted to adopt them all. And I came home, and God had softened my heart, and I was ready. So when we came back from Belize, we bought our first home, and I thought, all right, I'm going to have the American dream, right? We purchased a home. We are going to have a baby. I have my career, you know, all of the things. And it just never happened that way. And so we didn't have, you know, a child in that home. And then God called us into ministry. And so we ended up actually renting that house and eventually selling it later. But we purchased an RV and we were going to travel and speak and do ministry around the world. I quit my job as a physical therapist. We took this step of faith and still trying to have children, but, you know, left that house where I thought we were going to have our first child and headed out on the adventure of a lifetime.
And it's funny because you and I have that in common. We've discovered that quite a while back, living in the RV full time, doing ministry. And
Yeah. And so it didn't turn out like we thought. And the speaking engagement dried up. We're sitting in the RV looking at each other. And I was like, God, you know, I quit my job, right? And so we ended up moving to Colorado, and we're still trying to have a baby. Like, even while we were in the RV, we're still trying. And then we come to Colorado, still trying. And it was at the end of 2013 that I had a miscarriage. And so I, did get pregnant, and, I had two pregnancy tests. And my mom was actually here visiting when I found out that I had the miscarriage. And so it was very difficult because I was already older at that point. And I thought, this is probably my last chance. And so I took it really hard. But as you know, miscarriages are very lonely, and it's, a very lonely grief. But yeah. And so we were never able to have children, or I never got pregnant again after that. And so we had that one miscarriage.
Do you have any idea how far along you were? Was it an early pregnancy loss or a little bit
It
later,
was an
mid?
early one. Yeah.
Okay. But obviously far enough along to start dreaming and making plans.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It was I don't even remember exactly. I mean, because I hadn't gone to the doctor yet, but I did have two different pregnancy tests that were positive along the way. And so yeah, I was far enough that I knew I was pregnant, but it wasn't very, it wasn't like at the end of the term or
But
anything.
your body confirmed it and tests confirmed it. And So I have heard you talk about this just a little bit. How devastating was that for you after trying for so many years? And I know you well enough through Christian Book Academy that you and CJ are prayer warriors. So I know you took this to God over and over again about having your own child, starting your family. So how devastating was that for you? What was that like?
Yeah, it was really devastating. I have shared my testimony in my book, Broken Crayons, Still Color, like many of my testimonies. But one of the things I share in that book is that my grandma was murdered when I was 8 years old. So I have walked through intense grief. I lost two cousins to car accidents suddenly. And so, like, there's just a lot of things that have happened in my life that I've walked through grief, but this was the most difficult. And it was, it's obviously so personal. And then just, I think the fact that I was older and then I thought that it was my last chance, and it was, but it took me about a year, and I'm a very active person with healing, so I don't sit around and just mope. And I mean, I'm not saying that's wrong, but my personality, I'm an activator achiever on the StrengthFinders, and so I'll take action to try to take the next step. And so, but I got stuck, and I was really, really sad for a long time. But finally the Lord was like, "All right, Shelley, it's time to begin working through this to heal." And I began taking steps and doing things that were practical, but also just like taking a walk in a very remote trail out in Colorado. I would just ream at the top of my lungs, and I would cry, and just all of the things that you do. And it was about a year, and it was the end of 2014, and it was the last Sunday of that year, and the Lord's like, "Shelly, you've grieved, you've cried, you've really done all that you need to do for to feel all the things, the anger, the denial, all the things of the grieving cycle, but it's time to move on." So I began to surrender that, to get to that point of surrender, right? And it was that very next, well, not the very next month, but it was in February that I launched Christian Book Academy, which was, how we met, helping writers to birth books into the world. And so the Lord's like, "I'm going to use you. We may not have birthed a baby into the world, but you've birthed a lot of books. My husband and I have birthed over 70 books, and then we're helping thousands of writers around the world to birth books." And so that was kind of like, the next phase. But yeah, it was really devastating, and it took about a year.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was going to ask you if there was like a pivotal moment where you knew you just had to surrender this to God. It sounds like for you there was just God just said, I've got something for you. And it really, it is, you can't move forward with the gifts I have for you until you're ready to surrender what you don't have.
Yeah, and For me, I did a lot of practical things. I like to journal, and I think I wrote a letter, to that child, and I got my ears pierced a second time, and I had a specific earring put in there to always remember them. I had a bracelet that was a remembrance for them. I had so many of these little things. I can't even honestly remember them all. I should have written it all down in one place. But there's all sorts of little things that God had me do throughout the year, to really remember. But it was really interesting, because I grieved that year, but CJ didn't. And I didn't realize that he hadn't. I had moved on, but he hadn't. He was still very angry and very upset. And so it was a few years later, I was working with a counselor, and I was working through some things related to my grandma's murder and grieving that. But it came up again because CJ and I had talked about it. And she said, I think it would be really helpful. She said, I've done this with other couples, is for the two of you to do something and have a ceremony to celebrate their life and do that together. And so we did end up several years later doing something together. And we got a helium balloon, and we wrote a little note. And she said, she recommended praying and asking the Lord if it was a boy or a girl, naming them.
I was
And so
going to
we
ask you
both,
that, yes.
yeah, we both sensed that it was a boy. And CJ always wanted to name a boy Caden James, because that would be a second CJ, right?
Oh,
And he always liked the
yes.
name Caden. So we named him. We had a ceremony. We went to a place, we prayed, we did all these things, we released the balloon. And I think that was a really important part of it for CJ, because I think he needed that. I know he needed that. And so it was a lot longer process for him than for me, but I was happy, to go through that process with him at that time, even though I didn't really feel like I needed it, but so that we as a couple could have closure.
Yeah, that's good. And I know you use the word closure, but there never really is complete closure, is there, with losing a child? Because I know those dates, does that date, are there dates that still hit you? Or is that something that you've kind of been able to, some days that just kind of goes by and it's like, oh.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, it was in December. So every time, occasionally when it was like the beginning of December, I don't have the exact date, I don't think. But so sometimes when I come to the beginning of December, I might think about it, or like, oh, it's like recently, oh, it was a couple of years ago. So it would have been 2023. It would have been 10 years. And I thought, wow, like, the miscarriage was 10 years ago, or like 2024, like, oh, he would be 10 years, now. So sometimes I think about those things. And one of my cousins had a baby around the same time. So sometimes when I see her son, I think about, like, oh, he would be doing that, or he would be that age. But those are really the only times I think about it.
So when you have those thoughts, is that something that you feel like if you dwelt on that, you could just kind of spiral down? Or is it something that you feel like you have just put it in the Lord's hands to the point where it's almost like, thank you, Lord, my child's with you and I will meet him someday?
Yeah, I think at this point, it's been 12 years. So I think at this point, like, even just talking about my cousin, it made me like get a little teary-eyed. Like, I could probably cry a little bit if I really thought about it, because my grandma always said we had all girls. She had all granddaughters, and then all of the grandchildren had girls to that point. She's like, Shelly's always going to have the boy, or Shelly's going to have the boy. And I feel like we did, but he's not here with us. But then
Nobody got to meet him.
my other cousin did have the boy. So there's a little bit more of a sentimental value when I think about her and her son and all of that. And we don't see them very often, to be honest, because they live in a completely different area of the country. So I'm not, if I was seeing them all the time, it might bring it up more. But so that was, I think when I talk about that, that makes it a little more, a little more tender, but I don't think I would spiral. And I think at this point, I just have so much peace and so much healing, and God has just Confirmed it to me over and over again that because we didn't have children, we have the gift of time. And he's been able to use that time in ministry and helping other people and doing so many other things. There's no way I would do what I'm doing today if I'd had children. Like, I want to homeschool, I want to do all these things. And so I don't think I would have the business. I don't think we would have written all those books. I just think our life would have looked completely different. And for whatever reason, God had, this is what he had for us. And he's just shown me, like, Shelly, this is what I have for you. So I'm not saying that I wouldn't cry. I'm not saying that I wouldn't be sad, but I just don't think at this point I would spiral because, first of all, I think it's just I've had a lot of healing and time from it, but also I've just seen God redeem so much of it.
Yes. And I think if I'm hearing you correctly, you're basically saying that God has given you meaning and purpose that goes beyond the death of Caden, and it's very fulfilling to you. And so
Right.
that fulfillment of what God has given you in place of him has fulfilled that hole, that emptiness. I mean, it can't completely, but enough that you have peace and it's not something that, like you said, you just spiral down when you start thinking about it.
Yeah, it's a piece, and it's also ultimately like the Lord brought me to the place of not my will, but yours be done. Because I did want to have children. And a lot of people misunderstand us. They think, oh, they're selfish. They didn't want children. Or, they look at us and, they make judgments.
Yes.
And I've had to let that go too, of like, it's okay if people don't understand me. And then we don't fit in. Like, so a lot of people that are our age, their kids are now in college. Like my sister, her kids are now in college and all of
Right.
the things. And we just never were invited to a lot of things because we didn't have the kids. We
Wow.
didn't, like, it's like you don't have that common bond. And so we were often left out. And it was a very lonely road because we never had children. Like, I think if we would have had children after the miscarriage, life would have been a lot different. But for years, it was difficult for me to even go to church on Mother's Day. It was very difficult for me to go to any baby showers. It was those things, all those things were very difficult for me. And I know for CJ, it's still a little bit more tender than I think for me. And I think sometimes he just sees families and, it's like it's hard because, we don't have that in the way that they do. But we are a family. CJ and I are a family. And we do have a lot of spiritual children just through the work that we do and the things that we've accomplished. So, it's a different journey for everyone. And so, it definitely has been a journey. And but I do feel that it's a scar and it's not a scab anymore that can be easily ripped off and open as an open wound. You know what I mean? It's still there. But healed scar. And I can look at it and I can rub on it and I can say, I wish that this, in some ways, that this would have been different, but this is what God had for me. And so that's where I'm at today.
I love that. Thank you so much for saying that because I think a lot of the listeners to this podcast are in that raw scab stage. And
Right.
you have a hard time believing, well, maybe yours got to a scar, but I can't see mine ever getting to that point. I can't see ever getting
Yeah.
to the point where I don't cry every year and I don't, it's okay, I'm okay going to a baby shower or whatever. So thank you so much for sharing that because we need to hold on to other people's hope until we have our own and can see that for ourselves. Can I ask you, did you have
Yeah.
people make comments to you along the line of, oh, you wouldn't get it because you're not a parent?
Well, first of all, I just want to say, as a follow-up to your previous comment, is my two of my aunts have lost children, and one of them has become a counselor and she's done a lot of grief counseling. And one thing she says is when you lose a child, you never completely get over it, but you get through it. And so, yeah, I do want to acknowledge that. Like, and it's different for every person. We're all different. I am a very emotional person. And so, like, but I really expressed my emotions in the grieving process and all of that. But I just want to acknowledge wherever anybody is, it's your journey and everybody is different. But yeah, we never completely get over it, but you get through it. But yeah, people have said interesting things through the years. I think it was also hard for me for many years to go to women's ministry events because the first question, like is what do
How
you
many
you
kids
know
do you
how many children or
have?
how many children do you have? You know, people ask, yeah, how many do you have? And I always had a hard time knowing like how to answer that. And even now, like a lot of times now I'll just say, well, you know, we weren't able to have any children, but we do have two nieces and we love to see them and visit them. They're in Florida and they're both in college now. And, you know, so I just try to redirect the conversation. I think I'm a person that has a gift of vulnerability, and that's in my books. You'll find that. But I just feel like sometimes when people would ask me questions like that, I would share too much too quick, go too deep, and then they were just kind of like, oh, like, how do I respond to that? Because I was trying to justify myself, or I was trying to help them to understand. I wanted to be understood. And I think that's the thing. It's human nature. You want to be understood, and you want people to, you want to feel like you belong. And the Lord will show me, Shelly, you do belong. You don't have to fit. Like, you don't have to fit the mold. You don't have to fit this, two children and this and that and all of, this. You don't have to fit this mold to belong. Belonging is different. And so you can be friends with people that have children and you don't have children yourself, but it is an interesting thing. And I think, people sometimes just don't know how to respond. But also, like, I found that even like Mother's Day, certain pastors will, say things and they will not even acknowledge people who, like me, have maybe lost a child or, tried to have children and not able to have children.
To that point, it's fascinating to me because so often Mother's Day, it's acknowledged if you've lost your mother,
Yes.
but
But
they
not if
don't
you've lost your
acknowledge
child.
if you're a mother who's lost a child.
Yeah. And so we have been going to a church the last 8.5 years. And I will say that our pastor there is very sensitive to it. And it makes me want to cry because I'm so grateful. You know, it's like I know so many people are still walking through it. And even though I'm not as tender as I used to be, I'm grateful that he acknowledges that. Because for so many years, I went to a church where it wasn't acknowledged, and I almost couldn't even, I just stopped going because it was too hard.
Well, let's talk a little bit about where God has you now. With Christian Book Academy. That is, I don't even know how to describe it. It's such a blessing and it encompasses so many things. So, can you share with us a little bit about what you and CJ are doing?
Yeah, so like I said, I was a physical therapist for 12 years and I quit my job to take that step of faith. And the speaking didn't work out, but God then that year birthed, I think we wrote and published 23 books that year. And people begin asking me, what are you doing? How do you publish books? You know, what's going on? And so I have a gift of teaching and I started a website and started teaching the process. And then one thing led to another. And then right after the miscarriage was when I launched the Academy, which is a membership for writers who want to write, self-publish, and market their books. And so this has been, we've had it now 10 and a half years. And we help writers not only to, like get past the creative blocks, but we help them spiritually. So people call us pastors for writers because my husband shares, encouraging messages. We
He does.
pray.
I was
We even
listening to
have
one
a,
just this morning about the little foxes.
yeah, the little foxes. That was a good one. Yeah.
I was just listening to that this morning.
Yep, we have prayer meetings every month. We call them a war room prayer meeting. So, but we also help with the very practical things. Like if you want to share your story, and we have a workshop called Tiny Testimony Books. And I just recently finished one on the church hurt and all of the stuff I went through with my dad as a pastor and all of that 20 years ago. So, very short book, but we show you the process with any kind of book that you want to write. But we really encourage people to start short because it's a quick win. It helps you to get something out there to begin the process, and then you can go from there. But yeah, we've helped thousands of writers over the years, and really, yeah, it's been something I've been try I've tried to quit it several times, tried to sell. Yeah, I tried to sell the business twice, and CJ's wanted to quit multiple times. And we were just talking about it yesterday. Like, God just keeps bringing us back to this. He will not let us move away and do something different than this right now. And so I just feel like this is a calling for us. And we call them kingdom writers because we want to seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added to you, right? So when we put God at the center, we partner with Him, then the writing will come, then all of the things will come. And so yeah, we've enjoyed doing it. It's very rewarding. It's very difficult at times too, because there is the spiritual battle. But like I said, God has not let us quit yet.
And you do. You have things in there that take you from, I've never even written a word on a page before, starting there all the way through writing it, outlining it. I mean, everything. You have writing workshops. You've got one coming up, I think next week as we're recording this. And just all kinds of, I mean, you literally, whatever stage you're in, all the way through getting the book out there, the publishing, self-publishing, the marketing of it. I mean, it's from beginning to end all the way through. So just as someone who's in the program, I mean, I'd already written several books, but I still joined the program because of the value that's in there. And so that is something that I'm part of. And I encourage any of the listeners to check it out. If you even thought about writing, like Shelley said, just start small. Just start small, something small, and see where God takes it. So Shelley, how can people connect with you and learn more about it?
Well, you can find out at christianbookacademy.com. And we do have a podcast called the Kingdom Writers Podcast. And so you can check out some of the episodes there.
All right, and I will make sure we get a link to that in the show notes as well. Do you have any last thoughts to share with the listeners on this topic, on pregnancy loss or child loss, anything?
Yeah, I think it's just a process of walking the journey with God. And I think they're just I think I'm, I for me it just I needed to be able to face the pain. And I think sometimes when you think about facing the pain, like you might feel like I'll cry and I'll never stop, like I just or I'll be depressed and I'll never get out of the hole. And I think for me that first year, especially, like just being willing to be in the real and the raw and the pain, and to just bring God into that and like be angry and scream and shout and do all of the things. That's what I believe really helped me bring me to that point where I could say, not my will, but yours be done. Because I think I had to process the emotions. And I think if we try to just move on and put on the happy face and say the words, but we don't truly feel it, we don't truly walk through it, we don't truly process it, I think it's just always going to be there under the surface, like trying to push a beach ball under the water, right? And it's just going to keep coming back up and coming back up. And it still will. Grief is in waves, it's in cycles. But I think the big bulk of the pain and the big bulk of the thing, if you are just willing to, God is gentle. He leads us through it in phases and steps, and it wasn't like all at once. It was over a year for me. For you, it might be years. But that God will take your heart and He will be gentle with it if you'll allow Him. And so I just encourage you, like if you feel like it's still super, super raw, that's okay. That's where you're at. That's where you're at in the process. But I do encourage you to ask the Lord, is there a way that I can process it? We all do it differently. Like I said, I did a lot of unusual things that God just led me to do them, And so, but whatever works best for you, just keep taking one step at a time.
Well, Shelley, would you please pray over the listeners?
Yes, of course. Yeah. So, Lord, we just thank you right now that you are here with us and that you love us so much, and that even when we don't understand why, we don't understand, all of the ins and the outs. We don't understand why you allowed something or why you didn't move in a certain way. Lord, that you are to be trusted. You are
Yes,
faithful. And
yes.
it's like you showed me years ago, like we have all the puzzle pieces and we don't always understand. We don't always see how they go together. We don't always understand, but you have the box top. You see the big picture.
Yes.
You know what you are doing in our lives. And I just thank you that you are working in each of our lives. Would you just bring comfort to those who need comfort? Would you bring healing and helping them to process the pain to those who need that? Lord, would you just bring faith to those who need faith? And would you just restore any intimacy with you that might have been
Yes.
destroyed just because of, just anger or a misunderstanding or, just whatever it is? Lord, would you just do what you need to do in each of our lives and use us in powerful ways. Lord, I know you have a purpose and a calling for each one of us. It looks different for each one of us, but would you use each of us in the way that you want to use us? And so I just pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Shelley. This has been really good. And I know there are things that you have shared that are just going to really help the people who are listening. So thank you for just your honesty and just being real with us and where you were and where you are now. And just appreciate you joining me today.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Thank you again, Shelley, for sharing your journey and your heart with us. You shared some things that I believe are words of hope that the listeners can hang on to, even if they've not had a pregnancy loss. And thank you for that beautiful prayer. I really want to encourage anyone who has thought about writing a book, whether it's a memoir about your child, maybe a specific message God has given you in this journey, or maybe it's something like a novel that has nothing to do with the death of your child. Go ahead and check out Christian Book Academy. Now, just to let you know, if you use the link in the show notes, it's what's called an affiliate link, and GPS Hope will be given a portion of your membership fee. So I see that as a win-win. You get to write your book, GPS Hope gets a little bit of financial support there, plus it's a win for all the people who are going to be blessed by your book. Now, also, as we are nearing the end of October and heading into November, can you believe it? I want to remind you about the Reflections of Hope book, Daily Readings for Bereaved Parents, the November edition. If November tends to be a hard month for you, you're not alone. The changing season, the approaching holidays, the special dates on the calendar can stir up fresh waves of grief. And that's why I'm reminding you that we have put together the Reflections of Hope, Daily Readings for Bereaved Parents, the November edition. Now, the Reflections of Hope, the full book, is a year's worth of reading. You can have it all year long, pick it up on those difficult days, and have it there. But we also split this book into monthly books if you just have a month or two that you want a little something extra. So each day offers a gentle, faith-filled reflection to bring comfort, understanding, hope, encouragement to your hurting heart. You can order your copy on Amazon. The link is going to be in the show notes. And let these daily words remind you that you are not walking this journey alone. And one last thing, don't forget to check out the Grief Cruise coming up in February. Now, remember, this is not just for bereaved parents. It's for any loss. So let family and friends know about this. We do have, we have times where we get together as bereavers. To check it out, go to gpshope.org/cruise because you can still get in on the reduced cabin prices right now. Let's go ahead and do this week's birthday segment. Carissa Ellen Hunsaker was born on October 19th, and she left us at the young age of 1 year old. Samuel Sam Buss was born on October 19th and left us at age 21. Matthew Anthony Silikowski was born on October 22nd and left us at age 36. We celebrate the day these children came into the world. We know it will always be a special day and worth celebrating. If you would like to have your child's birthday announced, and we do announce pregnancy losses too, because those are days to remember. I know it's can be hard, you know, the birthday and the death day are the same day, but it's still worth celebrating if you have a date there. They were born into heaven, right? So if you would like to have your child's birthday announced on the podcast, I would love to do that for you the week of his or her birthday. Go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Fill out the form, send it in, and we will add your child to the birthday segment. As we wrap up today's episode, I just want to take a moment to honor every mom and dad who has experienced the deep pain of pregnancy loss or a stillborn loss, because your love for that child is real and your grief is valid. You may not have pictures or memories like some other parents do, but your baby's life made an impact, one that's written on your heart and in God's heart. If today's episode touched something deep in you, please give yourself permission to feel what you need to feel. There's no right or wrong way to grieve this kind of loss, and like Shelley said, we're all on our own journey. But remember, you don't have to walk this road alone, so be sure to connect with us at gpshope.org. And if this podcast episode has been a comfort to you or brought you hope and encouragement, please share it with another parent who might need to hear that they are not forgotten and that their baby's not forgotten either. Like I said, we will visit this topic again next week. So until then, hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.